for voters that might not be familiar with you or familiar with exactly the office that you've been in for the last 20 years on the Illinois Supreme Court, tell them a little bit about yourself and the, I guess, the situation they find themselves in voting for your retention or not, as the case may be.
Well, I live in the Quad Cities. I've lived here for almost 40 years. Married, my wife teaches mathematics at Augustana College. We have three adult children and two grandchildren, and the third we're expecting any day. So,
congratulations!
She's going to be a girl too. So I'm surrounded with women. But I've practiced initially in legal aid, and then as a general practitioner across the board in civil and criminal cases until I got onto the court.
What led you to study law in the first place?
Well, I had a great interest in leveling the playing field, shall we say. I found through volunteer work and other work throughout my early years that lawyers can play a difference in making sure that people get a fair shake. And when I did the legal aid work here in the early 1980s, during the big depression that we had in the 80s with layoffs and from Caterpillar, John Deere, and Case, and so forth, middle-class families that fell into the so-called poverty ranks to qualify for legal aid, who had problems with mortgage foreclosures, repossessions, domestic violence, unemployment. Lawyers really make a difference.
And how does that work differ from what you currently do on the Illinois Supreme Court?
Well, as a member of the court, each one of us, seven of us are involved in the development and establishment of the law and the parameters of what takes a case in the trial court and the appellate court across the board in all kinds of cases from A to Z.
You know, we know judges and justices uphold an oath to be independent and fair-minded, but, you know, when you're running for office, you do have to run with the party, and you're a Democrat. I'm just kind of wondering what you see as kind of the crux of maybe disagreement generally between you and your counterparts on the bench that might run as a Republican.
Well, I ran constitutionally. We're required to run under a party label when we first run. That's not true when we run for retention. There's no party label on the ballot. That wasn't true in 2010. It's not true today in 2020. It's a simple proposition of yes, no. And the Illinois State Bar Association has evaluated me and my background and qualifications, and they've recommended a yes vote, and I enjoy bipartisan support across the district among Republican and judges who are elected as Democrats as well, prosecutors and so forth.
So you would reject a label that you're a Democratic judge or a liberal judge or anything to that effect?
I do reject that labeling, yeah.
I know some of your opponents have tried to tie you to the Speaker of the House, Michael Madigan, that said you've received $4 million from four-year judicial campaigns. Is there anything you can say to assure voters that your personal or professional relationship with Michael Madigan would not influence the decisions that you make on the bench?
Well, first off, judges are prohibited from fundraising across the board. We can't solicit funds. We can't accept funds. And I have a firewall built around me both as a practical matter and legally speaking. So I don't know, unless members of the media ask me questions about contributions, who's contributed what. And I don't take that into account. And I have no personal relationship with the speaker any more than I have a relationship with other statewide constitutional officers. For example, Governor Rauner. I knew him on a friendly basis, and that's my relationship with that. And, you know, the allegation that my relationship, which doesn't really exist, has impacted my judicial decision-making. For example, they say that I've stopped pension reform. Well, that's utterly false. The pension decision, and the only pension decision decided by the Illinois Supreme Court, was a unanimous decision of all seven members of the court, and in fact was authored by an individual, Lloyd Carmire, who was originally elected as a Republican. And the legislation that was struck down as unconstitutional was legislation that the speaker had presented, had authored, sponsored, I guess is the right term, in the legislature. They say I've blocked term limits. Well, the truth is, there's never been a term limit case decided by the Illinois Supreme Court in the 20 years I'm there. I don't know where they come up with these ideas. They're just making up things out of whole cloth.
Do you have any idea why do you think that they would, I guess, be opposed to your retention to the extent that they are?
Well, from what they've said, from what Jim Nolan has said, they want to get somebody, they want to knock me off, they want to get somebody on the court who's an ideologue that agrees with their view on cases. But, you know, we don't decide public policy on the Illinois Supreme Court. We decide cases within constitutional parameters.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, I mean, I think it's fair to say that there has been an increasing amount of politicalization around the courts nationally and statewide and maybe locally. Since that is the case, I guess, or if you do agree that that is the case, is there anything that can be done to reduce that?
Well, the only thing that could be done is if the United States Supreme Court agreed to change their position on the funding of elections, because they've opened the door to unlimited funding. And First Amendment protects the right of speech, and they've declared contributions to be part of political speech and First Amendment rights. Frankly, I wish there were no money in politics across the board, and that's the way it should be, because you don't want to walk into a courtroom and have a judge lean over to the bailiff and say, check Mr. Smith's voting record or Mrs. Smith's voting record. You know, you want an impartial judge who will listen to the arguments on both sides of a question that's presented to the court, consider all the evidence, and make a fair decision. That's the way it should be.
Do you think that the current system we have, where judges are, you know, I believe elected, or justices to the Supreme Court are elected, and once they're on there, they face retention every 10 years, which can, in effect, make it a lifetime appointment with checks from the voters. Do you think that the current way we do that is a sound policy?
Well, again, it's a policy that we're living with under the mandates of the Illinois Constitution. And the Constitution we operate under was adopted, ratified by the voters of Illinois in 1970. And in fact, the voters were given a choice, a separate question to vote on in 1970. Do you want appointed judges or want elected judges? And the voters in 1970 chose to have elected judges. I, for one, especially at this point in my life, will wish there were no elections.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way it is, and we have to accept the will of the voters.
Sure. I read something a few days ago that said a Springfield lawyer, Mary Lee Leahy, who I believe has passed away, has said that nobody ever dreamed that retention would be used in this way. The idea was to give voters a chance to get rid of bad judges, one who made sloppy decisions or rude to lawyers or behaved in an erratic way. It was never intended to be used to punish judges for voting in a particular way. Does that statement, I guess, resonate with your feelings as far as your opponent's attacks on you?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, one of my colleagues I served with for virtually the full 20 years, who was elected originally as a Republican, Justice Bob Thomas, and he dissented on cases, but not all the cases that I voted on, but some of the ones that they want to point out. You call him up today and ask him, and he'll tell you he is endorsing me, he has endorsed me, and he'll continue to support me, because the independence of the court has to be maintained.
Given that it sounds like you're not a great fan of campaigning per se or getting involved in politics, but since you are facing retention, is there anything that you do or have been doing in the way of campaigning, given that, you know, there's restrictions and safety protocols with COVID, but what do you do to kind of get your name out there?
Well, all I can do is what we've been doing, but the COVID presents a major significant challenge that prevents me as well as others from getting out and facing people. But in a district that covers 21 counties from the Iowa border to the Indiana border, across the Interstate 80 down from the Quad Cities down south of Peoria into Hancock, Carthage, it's extremely difficult as a practical matter to get out there. I mean, ideally, I wish this could be a funded campaign with a couple thousand bucks out of my own pocket, but that's not the situation.
Could you talk about how the COVID-19 pandemic is has and is affecting the Illinois courts generally right now?
Well, the pandemic has restricted the courts in a number of ways in terms of people being present. Things are getting kind of worked out across the board throughout the state, and we've given great discretion to the chief judges of each circuit with their other circuit judges to decide what works best. But, you know, we've got to maintain public health safety requirements and recommendations of the public health administrators. And jury trials have been limited in criminal and civil cases. And the fact that many jurors who are called are reluctant to come into court, although people are beginning to be more comfortable under proper guidelines of social distancing and so forth. Mm. So it's definitely impacted the courts.
Is it right that you're the only justice on the Illinois Supreme Court from downstate Illinois? Is that correct?
I'm not sure if I understand your question.
Are you the only justice on the Illinois Supreme Court currently that is not from, like, you kind of explain how you're a part of a district, is that correct?
Right. I'm a part of what's called the third district. The first district is Cook County, and there are three justices elected from there. The second district, north of me, is just north of me outside of Cook County, and there's a total of five districts in the state. Three are elected from Cook County. The other four of us are elected from judicial districts, the second, third, fourth, and fifth.
Okay. I want to make sure people didn't think that this is a totally statewide decision that's going on here.
Right.
What do you think that voters should ultimately consider, whether it's you or not, what they should think about when they're going to vote for a judge or voting to retain them or not? Like, what should their thought process and decision-making be?
Well, I think they have to approach it the way they would, what they expect out of a judge. I mean, they expect a judge to be thoughtful. They expect a judge to hear both sides of an argument and not to decide off the cuff, so to speak. And I think they have to rely upon the legal professionals who operate in the court system to talk to other attorneys who've practiced with a judge, and practice in the sense of having done court cases, and the Illinois State Bar Association and so forth. And as I indicated earlier, I've got wide bipartisan support across the state of Illinois, including the former Governor James Thompson, who endorsed me before he passed away. Retired Chief Justice Ben Miller, a Republican, who's endorsed me. Retired Chief Justice of the Supreme Court Bob Thomas, who's endorsed me. And, you know, just go across the whole state and talk to judges, chief judges, circuit judges, and attorneys.
Well, Justice Kilbride, it was a pleasure to talk to you today. Just appreciate your time and best of luck.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your giving me an opportunity to talk to you and your listeners.